When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wilson, where are you? Wilson!
A very fulfilling yawn.
I don't know. It's like I'm getting the post-workout yawning.
You should have more energy after a post after a workout.
I know. I need to get through it, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta get through it.
You need to hydrate.
I'm doing that.
Okay, because usually a lot of the times when we think we're tired, we're actually just thirsty.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
True?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not just for water, but like, especially like after a workout, it's like about replenishing electrolytes.
Yeah.
So like sodium, potassium, the other ums that you're supposed to replenish.
Ooh, it's nice out today. Sun's out.
Oh, it is? We got a cold front.
Finally. It's a little chilly, but the sun's out, so.
That's good. Yeah, the sun's out right now, too, but yesterday all day it was, like, really cloudy.
It's been a few days. I can't remember when the last time I saw it.
The sun?
Tuesday, maybe? I don't even know.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
Says it was overcast for a few days. Rain. It was pouring yesterday.
Yeah.
All day. Miserable day.
We got some pouring, too. Recently.
Miserable and cold, and I hate that weather. But today is beautiful.
That is good. Any plans with the family to go outside later? Take the kids out for a hike, maybe?
I wish, but I gotta work.
Oh, okay.
I took them to Dunkin' Donuts this morning. They're off today, actually. The kids are off from school.
What's today?
This week was parent-teacher conference.
Oh, okay. I was like, is it a holiday or something?
Nah. They had half days on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they were off today. So not bad for them. Bad. What's up, Waz?
Chilling. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Waz.
Eden, my love, what's good with you?
It's always good to hear you have energy on a Friday.
Yeah, man. I have no choice. It ain't shit to do.
Until 11:30.
That's a lie. There's a lot of stuff to do. Not like in the social sense, but just like my own personal life sense. Yeah. But there's nothing to do socially. It's funny. My friend hit me yesterday. It was probably like 9:15. He was like, yo, come up to this place. I guess he was in Sherman Oaks. come have a drink, watch the game. I was like, yo, I'm watching the Laker game, and then I'm going to do the Daily Ding. But I'm down to come out. Fuck it. Let's go. And then he's like, yo, instead of doing this, we're going to go to this hookah spot instead, which is BYOB, instead of us, you know, spending all this money at the spot. Okay. And the hookah spot, though, is a little bit further out east in the valley. And I was just like, I literally started packing up. I had two bottles of wine.
That and people left at him, your house?
No, and then I texted him. I was like, I'm not coming. I was like, yo, bro, let's do this tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it Friday. Like, it was just like my bed was, you know, less than 20 feet away. I was just like, nah, I'm not
going. Once you start packing up to go somewhere, that's the gut check. That's
yeah,
the gut check.
Like, I really want to do
this.
If
you're just grabbing your shit and going, you yeah. could like you can be out the door. But once, yeah, all right, yeah. all right, I'm going to grab this bottle and this, and then it's like, oh, man.
Nah.
I don't know. I've cut many a plan during yeah. that time period.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, all right, you know, I do have these bottles I wanted to try. And, you know, the place is pretty cool about letting people do what they do as long as you spend the money on the fucking hookah in your little personal section or whatever. And I was like, fuck it. I just quit.
That would happen a lot for me on the road at work. People always would gather somewhere and I'd be like, yeah, I'll be there. And I'm getting ready. And I'm like, nah. I'm staying right here.
Yeah. If I'm not out the door within 2 minutes, I've already changed my mind.
Yeah. Someone will call me up. Come on. It's fun. Come on. Like, I'm at the bar, the hotel. It's as far as I'm going, buddy.
The hotel bar is clutch, though.
What's up, Maze?
Yo.
Yay, Maze. No computer troubles this week.
Eden, why'd you say something?
I have thoughts and prayers for your computer.
Yeah, we still got to record Cinephobia, Eden. Thoughts. That's fucked up.
I'm sorry. Right? But I'm trying to save your relationship by doing this to his computer.
Speaking of Cinephobe, when are we doing? We got to schedule this. What's the name of that Michael, the Douglas movie?
Disclosure.
Disclosure. Because I saw somebody tweeted that. Oh, it got bumped back up?
I'm just saying it could. You know, someone's going to sabotage.
I don't think people are going to review this movie in a positive way.
Unless Michael Douglas might.
If anything, it's probably going to get down to 39% soon.
Oh, man.
What about the cast of the movie? You never know.
I listened to Demi Moore's audiobook. I don't think she's focusing on this movie anymore. I don't think that's a high priority
she
for her.
She did drop a book not too long ago. Wasn't there some like salacious details about Ashton Kutcher or something?
Are they still together?
No.
No.
Oh,
okay.
I might have fallen asleep during that portion of it.
Okay.
Yeah. But she had a messed up childhood, man.
Oh, man.
Like she had a real, like her mom pimped her out at 15. Type of childhood.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's dark.
Yeah, it's really, really messed up. So it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know how to deal with any of these, like, weird relationship rumors or stories about her, because I'm just like, I think that bell got rung a long time ago.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah. Also, her kids might hate her, it sounded like, from the book.
The rumor.
Did you hear a rumor about that?
Oh, boy. Her name's Rumor.
Oh my God, Maze.
I was literally about to say, what's her name? Rumor. Is that her? The Rumor chick, Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Rumor's one. There's two others, I think, too. But yeah, it sounded like she just lives in Idaho in this big ass house by herself and like her kids won't visit her anymore. That's what it seemed like from the book.
Yeah, so she's a Kanye type. That's Kanye's future.
Yeah. That actually, look, man, you give me a certain amount of money. I'll get
Rumor, Scout, and Tallulah.
Tallulah.
Tallulah's the oddest name of them all, right?
Yeah, it's like, was she named after a random town in Louisiana?
That's my mom's alternate name.
Oh, it's like her middle name or like?
No, it's like the name she always wanted.
Where is that from, though? Like, I only know it as like a town that's in between Little Rock and New Orleans because it's where we always stop to get gas.
Sure that Tallulah Lake is a town in the valley. Am I making that up?
That's what my mom's Instagram is.
Toluca
Lake.
Oh, it's Toluca. Oh. Whoops.
But Tallulah. It's like a location name, right? Again?
Tony Medley is, I mean, we haven't done him in a while, but he is a movie reviewer that is a patron saint of Cinephobe.
Oh, gotcha.
Also, hardcore right-wing dude.
Hardcore right-wing. That comes through in his Hollywood.
He's always shitting on, like, these left-wing actors like George Clooney and Will Ferrell and all this. Like, it's just weird.
Who's this?
Tony Medley, our super reviewer, that if there is a Tony Medley review for... A movie
yeah, that you we haven't done absolutely... in a long time,
but he will be at the end of the podcast. And I live in the neighbor or like the neighborhood over from him, I guess is how you describe it. And so I gotta find this guy.
Tony.
Actually,
is it just Maze's alter ego? Is that what we're talking about?
I wish.
Slater's alter ego.
My mom stalked him online.
What?
She sent me all this information about him on like how to contact him if we want.
Like, what are you doing? Maze, mom, such what are you a big doing? Fan.
Like, what are you doing?
Tony.
WID.
He's like, Zach, I don't think you've been serious enough in your efforts to find Tony. Let me help you out.
Yeah. I mean, my thought was like, if I recognize him at Trader Joe's, I'll say something.
I mean, right. I'm now stalking Demi Moore online, so.
That's the move. That. Hey, if you're fine moving to Idaho.
Demi. Zach, can you, did you get that note I sent?
I'm recording.
No, about the blue chew. You mind doing that? Blue chew?
I'll do this. Are you kidding me?
You're good at it.
I got some this morning.
You really turn it on, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I can turn it on, baby.
Wow. Wow, I can turn it on. Wow.
Tell me more, please.
Oh. Hey, Waz.
Very interested.
Hey, Waz. If you like sex,
I do on occasion.
You're going to love bluechew.com.
What does it do?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that,
what
Waz.
What does the chew do?
It's a performance enhancement for the bedroom, and it's a chewable with the active ingredients that you find in like another competitive, you know, dick pill.
Got right? you.
Except
got
this you. Isn't a pill or whatever. It's just a little chewable, like 30 to 40 minutes before you get this. Like it, you just chew it. It's got a blue taste to it.
So you like should probably, you should probably pop it in. Right before you order the Uber to leave the restaurant and go back for the night.
Well, that's great. That's a great assumption, Waz, because it can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. This isn't something where, make sure you eat or, don't eat because it's going to. No, you take it whenever you want. You pop that thing. You order that Uber. You pop that thing in. You chew it a little bit. They'll never know. Right?
Light
you
just, a candle.
For all they know, you have a little breath.
Pour a couple of glasses.
Exactly. You go to bluechew.com. The online physician consultation, it's free. Free.
Nice.
Yeah. It only takes a few minutes. You connect with an affiliated physician of bluechew.com. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. There's no, you know that like in doctor, Maze, you know how it is, right? When you have to go to the doctor and you're like, hey, I'm having some performance problems in the bedroom.
Drop
and
the
doctor gives you a weird look, right? The doctor's like, really? Yeah. You do, young man? And it's just weird. No, you don't have that anymore. You have to wait in line at a pharmacy where they're like, all right, Jade, we got your Viagra. No, you don't have that. They're going to ship it directly to your door. And Eden, I know what you're thinking, and you're wrong. It's not going to come in some box that says boner pills in a neon sign.
That's such a relief. That's such a relief.
Chewables from BlueChew.com are even made in the USA. That's right, Waz. We're supporting American business here.
Love that.
That's what we're about. It's going to give you confidence.
Support American workers.
Every single time. You and your partner are going to love it. So you know what I always say, guys? Chew it and do it. And by the way, great deal for you listeners out here. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. Your first order free with D-I-N-G. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BLUECHEW.com. Promo code DING. Use that promo code DING for your dong.
That's awesome. That was great. Beautiful, beautiful read.
By the way, it says here that Tony Medley is an MPAA accredited film critic.
He wrote a book about the UCLA Bruins basketball team, too.
Wow.
And about he's an avid bridge player.
What was the best, Maze, what's like the review that comes to mind? I want to read one for these guys.
Oh, no.
Was it Drillbit Taylor? Is that the one? That's the first one that came to mind for me.
Great. I mean,
the first one is the next review, because that was the first one that we ever did. But I would read a Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, he does hate Will Ferrell. Did we do a Will Ferrell movie?
Let's do Step Brothers. Let's read the Step Brothers review.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
This is that's a good one. All right. Step Brothers review by Tony Medley.
Step Brothers, one of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my life. Just rewatched it this week.
That's a Maze review. This movie. That's not Tony Medley. Here's what Tony Medley had to say. If you go to this film expecting the worst you've ever seen, you won't be disappointed. If it looks idiotic in the trailer, it's worse in person. The ridiculous story is that Nancy Huff and Robert Doback fall in love and get married. They bring into the marriage their 40-year-old sons, Brennan Huff and Dale Doback. They have adolescent mentalities enabled by their clueless, doting parents and don't get along. Then they get along. Then they fight with their parents. Perhaps the most damning part of the story is that both Ferrell and Riley have story by credits. If that's not enough to keep you from this film, the producer is Judd Apatow. These guys are on the Hollywood establishment lunatic left, so not surprisingly, they open the film with one of President Bush's mangled quotes. It has nothing to do with the movie, but hey, they want to appeal to critics, most of whom hate President Bush. Predictably, at my screening, which was all media, the quote got the biggest laugh of the film. Totally bereft of humor, an insult to the intelligence of anyone over the age of reason, reprehensibly crude, this is worse than stupid. It uses vulgar language to try to make jokes based mostly on excrement and genitalia, subjects which abound in Apatow Ferrell films. 0 out of 10.
Wow. No way.
Zero? Wow. Nice.
Torches.
So I mean, when did Step Brothers come out?
2007.
I kind of respect how 2008, yeah. far in he goes, though. You know, how far in.
By 2008, there were people still defending W?
Yeah, man.
Lord.
I mean, there was at least one person. His name's Tony Medley.
I get what this guy does. Give me another one for reference.
Oh, man. What's the weird? There are a couple times where he will just mention, he'll compare a movie and then mention how like Freaky Friday is like the greatest comedy of all time. Like he loves Freaky Friday.
That's the Lindsay Lohan joint?
Yes, Lindsay Lohan. And I watched that. When did I watch that? Aaron and I watched that Halloween, maybe. We watched a bunch of Lindsay Lohan films. And I gotta say, like, it's a banger. I didn't remember it all that well. That's a banger of a movie, but he's like,
he wanted it to like sweep comedy. The Academy Awards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, this should have won all the Oscars.
I mean, it wasn't. It wasn't that deep, and it was also a remake.
By the way, I love that Hollywood is considered left wing. That's the joke of it all.
It feels like he's trolling, right?
This is him, man. Like, this is consistent in everything we've read from him. Like, he is
the only thing that Step Brothers review was missing was a comparison to an actor from like the 1940s.
Right. Yeah, he does that a lot too.
There's no picture of him online. Can you find one?
Oh, there is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He looks exactly how you think.
Where? Can't find him.
You got to go to the Toluquan Times, Jade.
Yeah.
Oh, is that him? I see that one.
Yeah, that's him.
That little tiny photo is all.
So is that who he writes for, the Toluquan Times?
I think so. Now. I think that's the majority of his.
This is the last.
Yeah.
What's he done this year?
He was like active in 2020.
Yeah. He writes movie reviews for Vince Vaughn. You feel me? Vince Vaughn, Angelina Jolie's dad, Tim Allen. I'm pretty sure Adam Sandler's a right winger. I'm almost positive of that. There's a decent amount of right wingers. I don't know why they front like there's no right wingers in Hollywood. There's plenty of them.
So in the Catwoman review, which we did on Cinefo,
yeah.
He says that he doesn't think that Benjamin Bratt is handsome.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Benjamin Bratt is less than compelling as her love interest. At least I didn't see anything different than I saw when he was Lenny's partner on Law and Order. And what I saw there was a good-looking, likable, phlegmatic guy who was always pretty much the same. But Benjamin apparently provides eye candy for women, so maybe he's got some secret sex appeal that only women see.
Benjamin Bratt. Benjamin Bratt's fucking hot.
He's a good-looking cat. Yeah, I mean, that dude's
good-looking.
You can't. There's no interpretation of Benjamin Bratt that he's not a good-looking cat. Come on, man.
No, he's a smoke.
I've always been able to understand how women could be attracted to movie stars like Robert Redford and Tyrone Power, but I don't think of Brad in their terms. However, you do have to take into consideration the fact that I'm not a woman.
I'm going to send you a picture of Tyrone Power, man.
This guy is amazing.
I'm reading his 1917 review. It's hilarious.
Tyrone Power? I mean, okay, decent-looking cat, you know.
About 1917, I originally rated this film higher, but the more I thought about it, the less esteem I had. I love this. This is hysterical.
Oh, Tyrone Power used to... Oh, I thought
Tyrone Power's got a little Stu Gatz in him, it looks like.
I think it's just the picture.
This one picture, I think I see the picture. I think I'm looking at the picture that you're talking about. Is that... Wow. No, hold on. Let me see. No, I'm looking at a different picture that he looks even more like Stu.
Yeah, Tyrone Power comes up in Mad Men. That's the only way I would even know.
Off they go on their journey, closely following the formula. It's a long way, but as they walk, they talk. And they walk, and they walk. While we see the trenches, the walk takes them through land that seems untouched by war.
Oh, I definitely see
Stu. This is hysterical.
No, I mean, he is.
Get him on the pod.
Well, we've been trying to, like, literally trying to find
my mom
this
literally
dude
gave
forever.
Me every single way of contacting him. So I'll see what I can do.
Gotta get this
Shouts
guy.
Because I think we should do like a... Oh, man. What we should do is we should do like a Patreon exclusive interview with him to go over some of the movies. And then on top of that, we should make him rank Will Ferrell movies. Because I think the best way for that to go is for him to hate us so much that he like hangs up on us.
I don't think that'll take much.
I think once he finds out that Amin's Muslim, that'll happen.
Wow. He reviews like not everything, it seems like.
There was definitely a zone where he was really working. Like if you look in like his like late 2000s, early 2010s, like he was seeing just about every movie.
Oh, okay.
And his website, despite not being updated since like GeoCities, is thorough. There's a lot on there.
Yeah. You guys want the Anchorman review?
Yes, please. Somebody who doesn't like Anchorman.
Hold on. There's Eat, Pray, Love. 1 out of 10 guys, 7 out of 10 chicks.
Whoa! Tony Medley. Not a part of the resistance. Goodness. All right. Anchorman. This movie raises an existential question that could drive people like Camus and Satir wild. Is a movie born bad? Or does society make it so? Or to put it another way, is a movie bad because my expectations are much higher than the reality? Or is it bad because it's just bad? The given is that Anchorman is bad. But I went into it with high expectations. People in the audience were laughing occasionally. I heard someone exiting the theater say, "That was really great." I wasn't sure if it was someone auditioning for a DirecTV commercial or not. Because one thing is for certain, regardless of your expectations, this movie is not great. So is it bad because I expected too much, or is it just bad? Anchorman was written by NBC's Saturday Night Live mainstays, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, who make this feature film directorial debut. McKay didn't make the cut when he auditioned for SNL in 1994 as a performer, but he was hired as a writer and promoted to head writer in 1995. Over the next 5 years, he participated in over 600 sketches. SNL has a reputation for being funny. I find his humor to be usually low class, gross, and unfunny. Because of the plethora of skits it throws out each week, a few are so funny they sometimes become classic. But the sad fact is that the majority of SNL skits are clumsy, low-intellect bombs. Anchorman's SNL derivation shows in the vulgar, crotch-oriented, tasteless attempts at humor it thrusts upon us. Ron Burgundy's an egotistical, intellectual, lightweight news anchor at a San Diego TV station in the 1970s, Channel 4. Veronica Corningstone is a smart, ambitious, beautiful woman who yearns to break into the all-male world of TV anchoring. Ed Harkin is Channel 4's news director. Right off the bat, the film doesn't work. Even though she's smart and ambitious and he's a lightweight jerk, she falls for him and gets involved in an affair. This gets Isn't about a zero the on the credibility meter.
Like, I could see this guy, the credits start and the movie's like, this sucks.
Like, he watched Anchorman earnestly? Like, what?
Wait, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. As if Farrell, which he misspelled, and McKay haven't done enough to convince us that they are Philistines, they compound the felony by throwing in an anti-President Bush line at the end. Regardless of your political views, how obtusely insensitive do you have to be to gratuitously offend half of your potential audience? What's sad is this could have been a good idea, a parody on golden-tongued, empty-headed news anchors who build huge popularity out of the simple expedient of reading the news off a teleprompter. Why in the world are these people stars? Alas, this film misses a golden opportunity by crossing the line that separates parody from stupidity. 3 out of 10.
No, the film does the opposite of what it's he just said.
Fucking brilliant. Like, those are two.
It could have been a good idea, guys.
Like, the movie is literally doing the thing that he's lamenting that it could have done. Like, that's literally what the movie does. Like literally, the movie is making fun of the farce of TV anchoring. Like just how stupid it is. Wow. Yeah, this guy is a genuine right winger. Holy moly, bro.
Wait, what was that? Man, what was that movie? What was like, it Vice? I want to know what he thinks of Vice.
Yeah, I would love to know what he thinks of that.
When did that come out?
Adam Carolla is a big right winger. Laugh at his shit because he's like ridiculously.
Oh, I used to listen to his podcast after he got fired from the radio. I listened to his podcast every day because
Adam Carolla's funny, bro.
One, he's pretty funny. And two, like, I think he's an asshole. And like, he is a crazy right winger, but I actually think he's a great interviewer.
Right.
Like, he's really good at breaking into that stuff. It's just he tells the same fucking stories over and over and over.
My brother just published his book.
Oh, really?
Word?
Yeah.
I read one of his books. I can't remember. It was like called like not Taco Bell material or something like that. It was fine.
I checked it out.
He's had an interesting life.
It's just, you know, he reminds me a lot of George Carlin. It's just that the time has changed, you know?
And yeah, it's like
I don't know if you could put George Carlin in this time frame right now. It's like, you know what I mean? Be interesting.
I think Carlin would adjust. I don't think Carolla is capable of adjusting. Like, I think George Carlin, I don't know if he would still be him, but I think
adjustment
he would still be a monster.
Adjustment is antithetical to right-wing just ideology. Like, the point of being a right-winger is that you don't want to adjust. Things are great exactly how they are, and people need to shut the fuck up and stop complaining about it.
I don't know. I can understand it, though. Like, you have a certain set of values, and then the time change. If you don't change, you're kind of been altered, right? So you've slid to the right or slid to the left, being that you didn't change your views. You know what I'm saying by that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just telling you, like, if you consider yourself to be conservative in any manner, that you hold the opinion that change is bullshit. It's overrated. Things are fine. Like, that's the whole ideology of conservatism. It's like, what are we doing? Like, there's a couple of people who can't hack it, but that's their fucking fault. You know, like, which, you know, like, if you grew up working class and you became rich, I completely understand why you would think to yourself, people just can't fucking hack it. I did it. Look at me. You know, like, it's completely justifiable as a way of thinking if you personally did it, you know?
Yeah, well, as I agree, there isn't white privilege. Wait, what?
I say that to the kids.
I didn't
any help from
up.
Me, kids. Sorry.
It's
I always
the same,
tell my kids,
it's
I had
the
a job at
thing.
14 years old.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's That's exactly what I expect.
Exactly.
The more successful I become, the more I'm like, look, I am absolutely liberal when it comes to social things. But these Republicans and their thoughts on taxes, like, I can't get behind this.
It's the same thing.
Libertarian.
But it's like all of us become more conservative as we age. That's just it's how everybody operates. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, that's universal.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I can't wait for the younger crew that I see on Twitter to get to be 40s.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's going to be fun. Come on. Come on. And the other young kids show up.
Come on. I mean, you got to, like, Hillary Clinton, you know, like, Hillary Clinton was a fucking hippie. Think about that. Think about what she represents now. Oh, like, she represents the fucking establishment.
In succession.
You know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. She grows up to be, you know, that's just how it goes, man.
I didn't catch that on the first go around. I caught it a lot more in the second, where in the early on she's wearing the hippie clothes and all that.
This is shocking. He gave This Is 40 an 8 out of 10.
What's Is 40?
This Is 40. It's a Judd Apatow movie. Like, he gave
in. I don't think I ever watched it.
Well, it's
the sequel
for people
to
that are 40. So why would you have watched it?
Yeah, facts.
It's Paul Rudd, and
I didn't even watch it.
It is about a middle-aged man who, like, kind of
Leslie Mann
gets sick of everything.
He what's his name?
Paul Rudd.
Judd.
Judd Apatow.
Paul.
No,
Judd.
Rudd. Rudd really has a lot of movies where he exemplifies like the modern man. Right.
Dude, I fucking love him.
He's the best.
I don't know that he can do any wrong in my eyes. Unless there's a Me Too movement that happens, and then, okay, obviously I will expunge that from the record. But, like, I think Paul Rudd is hilarious in everything.
What's the movie where there's a neighbor and he can't get out because his wife's so strict? What movie's that?
Neighbors 2.
No, it's not that one.
Neighbors and Neighbors 2. Bangers. I'm in on those movies. Those are good. And so, God, that's Zac Efron. Oh,
I know.
What a piece of sex that guy is.
Yo, I feel so bad that, like, I don't know if that movie came in the era, but I remember, like, there was from his, like, reality show or whatever that he did, he was like, I didn't eat a carb for, like, 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And it made me so sad to think
I
about
know, but
his
look
abs.
At him in that, like, pool scene. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh!
Worth it.
Wash my dishes on those abs. Makes sense.
The Efron blast there.
Zach Efron. Abs-fron.
I have no idea what movie you're talking about, Jade, by the way.
Paul Rudd like with the
those,
neighbor.
It's like one of those movies, like, remember the one with Matt Dillon and Owen Wilson?
Oh,
You Mean
Dupree,
yeah.
Sucks.
Really?
Oh, I tried to watch it. I fell asleep, though, and then I never returned to it.
I couldn't buy that Matt Dillon and Kate Hudson had ever met before, let alone were in love and got married.
I like that movie. I thought it was good.
Oh, well, Jade just pitched a future cinephobe. There you go.
I like Drillbit. Drillbit was good.
Oh, Drillbit's great. Previous cinephobe.
The cover of this movie, does he have a moose? He has a moose under his arm. And not John Travolta, but an actual moose. He's bringing a moose to the house. Moose is in
How
the house.
Big is said moose? Like,
I don't know, but it's like under his arm. So it can't be that big. Oh, it's just a moose head. Okay.
There we go. So he stole it from, like, Abercrombie or some shit.
Maybe Seth Rogen's the name. Let's check his IMDb.
Man, what were we thinking with that whole Abercrombie phase, you know?
I know,
just the design,
man.
I don't know.
Oh,
is, that's a time capsule right there.
It really is.
Yeah, did you work in Abercrombie?
Yes, I was a manager for them
that's
for,
wild
like,
to me.
3 years.
I cannot picture you like putting up with that culture.
Are you kidding? In an Abercrombie hoodie and the freaking
I can picture her in the clothes, like that's fine. I'm saying like in that culture, like immersed in that culture, working every single day.
Like, it was like an alternate universe of who I was. Like, dude, it was in like the summertime, in and it's like that have you heard
that
how great
Abercrombie
our jeans
store on Fifth Avenue was like, bruh. It was crazy. They would have four naked dudes
standing outside,
posted out front. Yeah. And they, yo, there would be a line to get into Abercrombie before that was a thing. Like the only store on Fifth Avenue with like every freaking brand you can imagine. Abercrombie had a line to get in because I guess there's not a lot of, or there aren't any maybe at all, abroad Abercrombie and Fitch stores. So like tourists freaking flocked to that store.
Import tax. Yeah. Like there was only like 7 worldwide locations at one point. And if they were always so much more expensive, like the markup because of import tax. So like a hoodie here that costs like $50 would be like $150 overseas.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So people would legit like come.
Dude, Zach,
to
in the
buy
summertime, you could not walk into Abercrombie and Fitch, dude. Like, I guess the Fifth Ave location was the flagship. It was huge.
Yeah. There's like, and like 5 man, stories.
Man. So
what a time.
I was, when that got
Maze,
big,
it's you, me, and Dupree. Got it. Josh Rogan.
when I was working at the Gap. So the Gap was one end of the mall in Sacramento, and Abercrombie's on the other end. And it was
so it was like a West Side Story situation.
It was a completely different world. Like just like being around that store, being around the store I worked in was so fucking different.
Oh my goodness, Abercrombie. What a time.
Entering the 21st century, Abercrombie and Fitch was rated as the 6th most popular brand ahead of Nintendo and Levi's by teenagers.
That's wild.
Yeah,
they had them
crazy
at the mall where I am, and I was always afraid to go in because it was so...
I mean, it's like archaic.
There'd be smoke coming out the door.
Think about it,
you know
though.
What I mean?
Like, it's like what every parent doesn't want their kids to do, like listen to loud music, wear heavy cologne, and walk around without their shirts on. So it's like, I think they really fed... Well, I don't think I know because I was in
these
stupid marketing
meetings.
Hold
on, Eden, were you in charge of hiring?
Yes, I was in charge of hiring.
So you had
I was
to pick hot people?
Yes, I was in charge. They called it like scouting. Like... No, but yes, before like Christmas, for our Christmas season, we always had the staff guys to stand outside and greet people. And we would legit have to like take pictures of these like 18-year-old kids and like send them into, I'm not even kidding. We had to send them into headquarters and get them approved if we wanted to get like Christmas bonuses.
That's crazy.
Eden's just like walking around talent scouting.
Legit tell us to walk around the mall and be like, hey, like you're good looking. Do you want to work for us?
This is a sex ring. It is.
That happened to me in PA, but it wasn't Abercrombie. It was Hollister.
But it's the same company, though. Same parent company.
Yeah, same company. Oh,
Hollister.
Yeah.
What was the other
Hollister
one?
Hollister didn't
Eagle?
Get the respect
no, no, no,
that Abercrombie
no, 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 no.
got,
don't,
though.
Don't lump us in with American Eagle's act.
American
Come
Eagle
on.
Was... No, American Eagle was the Walmart to Abercrombie's.
Yeah, they were the
Target.
Old Navy to
like, we always
Abercrombie's
joke that, like,
Banana Republic.
You worked at American Eagle if you weren't pretty enough to work at Abercrombie. Like, that's so mean. But
that's exactly what the fuck?
Such asshole.
Oh, my God.
Oh God, American Eagle. Yeah, you always felt icky walking into American Eagle. It was like, oh, why don't I just bring the extra $30 for those Abercrombie jeans?
Here we go. Back in, take this as you would, but back in 2012, it looks like the legal team at Abercrombie and Fitch is working overtime again. According to TMZ, a former employee of the clothing store has filed a lawsuit claiming that the national chain sent him to a modeling agency that required him to masturbate in front of the camera.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
By 2012, though, if you were still doing that, you kind of got what you
did. I mean, who knows, whatever. But you know. Still, like, that's the whole thing. I don't know how that existed.
I got a question for you.
Oh, man. That could
the creepiest part. I just have this one last thing to add. The creepiest part is, like, at the height of Abercrombie, whenever you want to call it, is I know that the like the top guy, CEO, whatever, like he apparently like hired like hot guys to just hang around him all day. Like
I'm telling you, this is all sexual behavior. Like,
it was,
I mean,
just
how
like,
do you think Jade got this podcast, Eden?
It was like so like such a creepy concept. And
I mean, yeah, the fucking American Apparel dude, like, forget about it. Like that dude was
guy was sick. Sick in the head.
All right, I have two things. One, Maze, if Abercrombie was sixth, what were the top five?
All right, let me.
You mentioned Nintendo.
Yeah,
I wonder
Nintendo.
But that was ahead of Nintendo. Abercrombie was
ahead. Oh, it was ahead. So what was ahead of Abercrombie amongst American teens?
Yes.
So brands?
MTV?
What year was this?
Recognizable brands heading into the 21st century, I believe.
That's okay. MTV? Is MTV?
Don't worry, this is taking me to... Oh, damn it. It was going to take me to an article on Time Magazine called Abercrombie's Beefcake Brigade.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, Abercrombie couldn't survive our current moment.
Definitely
just,
not.
It just would not.
Yeah.
All right. So while Maze does that research, I was listening to a podcast this week about dating scams, right? And like dating app scams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one of them was this dude matched with this like hot girl and she was super interested in all this stuff. And they do like a video chat and then it gets into like they both masturbate on the chat, right? And then she's like, all of a sudden, once it's done, they say goodbye or whatever. And she's like, yo, you got to transfer me $800.
Whoa.
And he's like, what? She's like, I was recording. I have pictures. Like, I'm going to send it to your family, all this stuff. I'm going to post it online. Like, if you don't send me $800. So she starts extorting him, right? And he's like, what the fuck? Like, they had messaged a bunch of times and worked up to this video chat and everything. And so I was thinking of, like, if I found myself in that situation, while I would be scared and nervous at first, I think at a certain point I'd be like, fuck you, post them.
Post
right.
it.
Like, go ahead. Like, all right. So they're going to see my dick. That happens.
Anybody wants to look, then.
Well, once someone does that, then they're actually liable. So
it's revenge porn.
You could get them in the end, essentially.
Yeah. Mm. Well, now, I don't know if, like, at the time, I don't know when the story was from. So this, it might have been before.
We don't know if laws were
stuff.
Like,
yeah.
That's a genius.
But even still,
that's
I was
genius,
thinking, like, yo, if
scheme,
I got
to
put, it is a, right. It's apparently, like, a big thing. And they were like, I want to say, so he transferred the money. And he tracked it to, like, I don't know, some account in, like, Thailand
or something.
The Cayman
Islands, yeah.
but it was, like, but, yeah, it got me thinking, like, yeah, I think, I mean, if I, when it extort me for $800, like, no. I'm, just post them. That's fine.
Well, it's 800 first, then another
right.
800.
Well, that's the thing. That, yeah, so that's what. Like Aaron was like, what? $800? I was like, yo, I bet that's just a first time. Cause then once they know that they can get money from you, that's
a constant
thing then.
I was just watching a Black Mirror on this subject.
Oh.
Did you see that one? So the research was done by the problematically named company Teenage Research Unlimited.
What were the brands?
In the fall of 2000.
That sounds like a Stu Gotts thing. TeenageResearch.com.
True. In the fall of 2003, they went up to third, and they were behind Nike and Sony.
Okay, that makes sense. PlayStation and Nike, yeah. What else? What else is in the, like, rounds out like the top five?
Wow.
I can't find the list itself.
Oh.
But does Abercrombie still exist, though, right?
Yes, they're still around, but they clearly are, like, this is the
they
peak.
Switched it up. Like,
it
was,
like early
2000s. Their whole thing was
extremely.
They don't make
a
single article of clothing
in
that
black.
Doesn't say Abercrombie on it.
Or in black, but they do now.
But now that, you know, that style of just so gaudy of just like, hey, look, it's an Abercrombie.
Yeah.
Is out of style.
Or giant moose. Yeah. I bet, was Xbox not popular enough at that era? I feel like Xbox would be in the top 10 at least, right?
Yeah, but Microsoft as a brand, I don't think is as cool.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah, that's true. Microsoft is a brand. Xbox is just the gaming console.
But I just imagine being a teen in 2003, as I was.
I mean, we were. Yeah, what are you talking about? Imagine.
If you just had your Abercrombie fit, your Nike kicks, and you were playing a PlayStation, you were the coolest kid in America.
Oh, my God. Nothing was better than that. You know what else is great, guys? Talking to fans on stereo. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
The Stereo app, which I think we got one coming up this week. Mace, is it going to be you and Amin? Is it going to be me and Amin? Is it going to be me and you?
Me and Amin sounds like an interesting...
Actually, I want it to be you and Amin, and that way I will listen and I will send in some voice notes, but I want to see how that one goes because it's... Oh, man. The way Amin handles the trolling young people...
Yeah,
the voice messages it's quite interesting, but
yeah,
it's actually
It's needed. It's necessary.
Yeah, well, to a degree. But when Maze and I did the Stereo app a week ago, man, that was fun because Maze just has this like encyclopedic like knowledge of our podcast in a way that I can't remember shit, and so we had so many questions from listeners. That were great questions that would have taken me about 10 minutes to answer as I tried to like just rack my concussion addled brain for any kind of like spark of a memory there. And Mazer's like, oh yeah, that was this episode. That was that episode. And so it's a fun way for everyone to connect with our listeners. And I think like the cool thing about it is if you want to be on Stereo, you can be on Stereo. You can just start your own. Like they kind of have this scrolling thing as you open the app. It's just like, hey, here's a random show. Let's see if you like it. Don't like it? Scroll through. Find another show or start your own. Invite your own friends. Waz, it's I know you guys have done it for Bomb and stuff. Like, it's a fun one.
Yeah, it's dope because I just love the interactive nature of it more than anything. Just, you know, in real time, people here would listen to what me and Nando were talking about. And then... ask us a question or take us in another direction. One guy asked us if he mentioned that his girlfriend wanted to start an open relationship and he asked us if we thought it was a good idea to entertain that. So we went from, you know, the politics of the left to whether or not you should let your partner see other people. And we thought it was a good idea for him to let his girl pork other dudes. So...
There you go.
That was what we did.
For
Stereo.
Pork other dudes. For Cinephobe, it has been just a fun like after party for us. And we do have, next week we've got part two of the Batman and Robin episode. So,
oh man.
If you want to listen to Amin do his horrific, horrific Arnold impersonation, which.
Oh, I love the Arnold.
It's awful. And it pissed me off to no end. That Dan Levitard was like, this Austrian is great, fans. Do more. Like, seriously. No, it's enabling you're an enabler. Yeah, you're an enabler. But we have fun on Stereo app. You can have fun too. You can check us out almost every day of the week between us, between Tom Haverstraw, between Woke Bros, Bomb, like Guts, like everything. Like everything has been good there. You can follow me stereo.com/talkhoops, stereo.com/DarthAmin, stereo.com/cornpuzzle. Stereo.com/BigWaz. I don't know what Trey is. Eden, are you on there yet?
I am not. I just don't have it yet. I don't have a reason to be on.
Well, you can go to stereo.com/talkhoops, sign up, listen to this coming Thursday's Cinephobe after party. Again, that's stereo.com/talkhoops, stereo.com/cornpuzzle, stereo.com/BigWaz/DarthAmin, all that good stuff. Just start your own conversation. It's a live show whenever the hell you want it. It's great.
All right, Eden. Got love questions this week. Some love
questions. We have one that is a very important question.
Is it about porking other dudes?
It's not about porking other dudes, but porking is, there is porking involved. So we'll just leave it at that. It is from...
Oink, oink.
Yes, oink, oink. That's exactly what porking sounds like. It is from friend of the show, a confidence man at Typed and Whatever. And he says, a friend of mine, I know, in parentheses, I know people say that and it's not really a friend, and but me it really themselves. Is a friend. It really is a friend. Yeah. Hashtag asking for a friend. So a friend of mine has a new girlfriend and she's not very financially responsible. I've known this guy for about 10 years and he's a very cheap guy. But now he's going out every night for extravagant dinners and came with me to the problem that he doesn't know how much longer he can keep this up. He's been dating the girl for a month and he's worried that the girl is using him for the illusion of wealth that he is putting on. And he says that he told him to come clean and let her know that he's a broke boy, but he thinks that she'll leave him if he does that. Do you guys have any advice for our poor friend of our friend?
Look, it sounds like a ticking time bomb here, right? So, well,
yeah, he says he'll probably be in the red soon if he keeps this up.
Yeah, one, don't go into debt over this shit.
Yeah, not two, worth it.
If you're just trying to like be with this person for as long as possible while also avoiding debt, like just ride it out a little bit longer and then eventually come clean and know what the consequences are likely to be after this. But do not go into debt over any of this shit.
Yeah, you shouldn't even go into debt over someone that you have a real relationship with. Never go into debt for anybody.
Yeah. Go into debt to buy a house. Do that. That's the reason you go into debt. Like, don't do it. Don't do it for anything else. Like that. Yeah. It's just such a bad. You're gonna regret.
Yeah. Do not go into debt for Top Shot.
Right.
So, any advice for how to approach the conversation? Like,
I mean, it's tough that it appears that he's defined the terms of the relationship in this way. Already?
Yeah.
Like, they don't hang out in any other context than going, like, also, you know, like, it's COVID. So, like, what are you really, like, going out and doing? Like, eating outside at restaurants all the time and stuff?
Yeah, people still eating out during COVID.
They barely more than ever before. I would say, yeah, try to propose something that's not like that. I mean, if it's already the type of thing where you only hang out going to spend money and you pay for everything, you have to try to like scale that back. And if she's not into it, then you're dating somebody super conceited.
Keep it pushing, man. If somebody is really that greedy and a money grubber, you got to keep it pushing.
Sorry, my guy. Gotta just
have fun. Have fun as long as you can, but don't go into debt.
What Zach said.
Don't feel bad about it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Congrats on the sex, though.
I know, yeah, right?
We love sex.
I had to ask a follow-up
this
and
is
make
a
sure
sex
that
positive
I had to make sure that he was at least getting laid out of this.
Yes, absolutely.
And he is. Yeah, okay. He is. No doubt there. But that was the only question we had for this week. So send me questions, guys.
Look, I don't want to turn this into an accusation of prostitution by any means, because I do not. There's no shame there. Sex workers are people. Sex workers should be protected. I believe in all that. However, I would say, like, if you're paying all this money and you are getting sex, maybe see what, you know, try to fill out some fantasies before everything blows up, right? You know, you want to try some stuff that you've always wanted to try? Like, just float it as an idea.
You have nothing to lose.
You got nothing to lose because you're about to lose her anyway. So go for it, you know?
That's true. That's a good point. Get the most out
of
it.
So I just got an email about copper infused jackets that are effective against COVID-19.
Stop. Stop.
Really? I got the same shit as what it was.
Why are you two hype beasts getting these special jackets and like, me, Eden, and Jade aren't getting notified?
The idea is that we would like do a story about it. Like, sir, huh. You're a designer, not a scientist.
I like this. I like this idea.
How is it like?
Full Metal Jacket, baby.
Oh my God, yo.
Like it. What do I get one of these?
Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, there has been an increased concern surrounding the ease at which pathogens spread. Copper has many antiviral properties, and these FDA-approved jackets are proven to kill coronavirus in 30 minutes or less.
30 minutes or less with some fucking Domino's pizza? What are you talking about?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Unbelievable.
That's insane.
Did you say it was FDA approved?
Yeah, FDA approved.
Yo, I bet it says FDA approved there, but at the bottom it says not FDA approved.
I mean, you know, slightly affordable, only $200 for an overcoat.
I mean, look, I think the vaccine's 165 for the poncho,
Eden. Yeah. I know it rains a lot in Arkansas. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, anything to keep you from COVID, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Priceless.
Yo, I'm out. I take
a supplement, copper. I take a copper supplement.
Oh, man.
Where was this a year ago?
Right.
Well, it takes time to develop. I mean, come on. What was the vaccine a year ago?
It took longer to develop the copper jacket than it did the vaccine?
To sew together a copper jacket? You kidding me?
Literally pennies on the dollar.
What do we got? What do we got in the bag?
All right.
The bag.
Hit Joker at A.W. Mueller. Have you ever won a bracket pool?
Bueller?
Won a bracket pool?
I did in 2015 when Duke won the championship.
I tied once.
And in 2010, I came in second.
I almost won my bracket that year. I came in third place the year that Tyrus Thomas and that LSU. Oh,
okay.
Because I picked them to beat Duke, and that was one of my smartest picks ever. I was like, man, all this effort, Duke ain't going to be able to score against them cats.
J.J. Redick's last year? Yeah.
Yep. That was one of my favorite tournament moments. Somebody tweeted yesterday, what was your fondest memory in the tournament? And I remember it like it was yesterday. And it was Trajan Langdon traveling on the most important possession of the 99 title game. That was...
Mwah! Oh, you mean that bum Trajan Lang that I stopped on a one-on-one fast break? No big deal.
When did this happen?
It happened like 3 or 4 summers ago at Bob Myers pickup game in Las Vegas.
After like 20 knee surgeries?
What? How many fucking knee surgeries have I had? All right? Like, he's Trajan Langdon. He came down on a one-on-one. I stripped the ball out of his fucking hands. ACC player of the year was.
Oh, I love it.
I also left him wide open to go cover someone else at one point, and it was dawned on me. Dude, I just left like one of the most prolific shooters in ACC history to probably not my best decision.
Jumper was wet.
Oh my God.
Dude, one of my first college basketball memories was it might have been the year, it might have been 98 or maybe a year before that. I guess Trajan Langdon had missed a lot of time with injury or whatever, and it was his first game back. And he drained a three, and Dick Vitale goes, "Trey's back, baby! Trey's back!" He was so fucking happy. And that shit made my blood boil. And I just knew that I had to hate Duke. I had to hate Trajan Lane just from Vitale's freaking... It was disgusting, dude. So yeah, thanks to Dick Vitale, he contributed to my Duke hate very early.
I want to see, like... a teenage Waz just trying to
figure out who to hate
the most, like which Duke player he hates the most.
William Avery was up there.
Yo, I hate him in the fucking NBA.
But the crazy thing about that team is that I didn't hate Elton Brand. I thought he was whatever, but I loved Corey Maggette. Corey Maggette was like
after dunks, man. Nobody was doing that then.
Dude, he had teenage young me, adolescent me, very conflicted, but Duke was, but then, you know, they came back with Chris Carwell and Shane Battier, and it was like, oh, yeah.
I'm just picturing you watching Steve Wojciechowski.
I never watched him in real time, but you know, I'm sure that guy would have pissed me the hell off.
Oh, man, Carwell was a baller.
Yeah, Chris Carwell could hoop. He was like their, like, defensive... like stopper type of guy, and you know he could get busy on offense a little bit, but he was their defensive guy.
And that Jay Williams team, man, Jay Williams was—he was. I was totally in the background. Like I was just under. Man, I thought he was going to be under the greatest.
Unfreaking real.
Major got an intro.
Hello and welcome to the Friday hashtag Ask Waz Mailbag on the Count the Things Network. I'm your host, Anthony Mays, coming to you from San Francisco. On the line to answer your fantastic inquiries, we have, in Los Angeles, CTD MVP, one would think, and therefore one was, Santa Hoops, a.k.a. St. Nicholas Cage, Mariano Blanco, the one-liner designer, he respects the boulevard, Zach Moose Harper. The Haitian sensation with a Caucasian fixation is vocation is irritation of the general population. The black intellectual, the Liberian rock, cultural anthropologist, sexual politician, you know the fucking vibes of bourgeois. The only Asian that doesn't raise it in Arkansas with a greener light than J.R. Smith and a tattoo for each of the seven deadly sins on both of her rib cages. Her love of Duke is not a fluke. She won't spook due to any rebuke. She can carve up the ice and fix your love life. It's Eden Lou. And in Bloomfield, Connecticut, Jake Christie is his brother and his wife. Amateur bear watcher with the bionic coal and the sheep-dipped conspiracy consigliere. Jaden Full, he scored 103 goals at the score level. Only 28, but his mind is old. He came out the womb wilt. His wife is a fruit, and he's a nut. It's not a bit. He's dinging in the rain, just dinging in the rain. The evil producer full of bearded cat energy.
Gonna get something like...
Let's check out my day
home! Caught him right up. Caught him up tonight, Sesame Chicken. Yo, did
Sesame
you know...
Chicken kind of night,
real,
huh?
Real quick, can I just say something real quick? I'm just thinking, I was going back through some Duke stuff, and... The year after Grant Hill left, so they were 28-6 with that last year with Grant Hill, and they lose in the national championship to Arkansas. And the next year, with a young Trajan Langdon with Cherokee Parks with Jeff Capel, they went 13-18, and they were 2-14 in the ACC. And I'm trying to just picture Mike Krzyzewski during that season, just how fucking furious he would have been. And just like it just delights me. I've never hated Duke, but I cannot stand Coach K.
I know. I'm saying
I can't stand him. All right, sorry.
Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple of things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. When we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore if you go ahead and download the Stereo app. That's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin and make sure you are linked and subscribe to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod. You can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me. And are yours truly all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app. You will find us and subscribe to us. And be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. And you can follow me, stereo.com/DarthAmin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.